All righty. People on Zoom are probably like, okay, I'm done passing the peace, y'all. Not sure how that works. Maybe they're all chatting. I didn't pay attention to the chat on Zoom. But, yeah. Melissa Millis here. White-bodied, she, her pronouns. Feeling a little, I don't know, this just like tossed back and forth with this crazy weather shift and all of that. And I am wearing my hiking boots this morning as kind of an outward reminder that I am ready. I'm ready for whatever this day brings and whatever is coming next, which feels even more important, I sense, in these days where I am mothering teens. Just going to say that out loud. And as a mother, I found myself frequently returning this last week to Brittany's reminder last week of Jesus's calling us all to a motherhood of sorts, in the sense of not turning away, but being vigilant through birth pangs, which are the beginning of life, that potential pure magic and joy to come. This is such a critical invitation amidst the increasing need for collective care, for nurturing during these days filled with agony and hate and persecution and so much unknown. This second Sunday of Lent, we continue our journey toward the cross. While we all know how the story of Scripture goes, we don't know what will precipitate from our own movement, our own accompaniment of Jesus toward the cross in this particular season. Or as one of my colleagues on a call this week said, this is the lentestly Lent we've ever lented. And I was like, that! Wow, right. So rather than turning away from all that is just difficult, the barrage of challenges and oppositional forces, we're moving through it. We labor, paying attention to when we need to breathe and when we need to push, bearing witness, protecting one another, and preparing for what lies ahead. This is not all that different from a mountain climber's experience at base camp, where team members, especially during the night or in challenging situations, they take turns keeping watch, monitoring the weather, of course, but also potential hazards for those who are going out and returning to base camp. They have to live in the present moment. With this in mind, as I read our text for today, I was taken back to moments in which others had mothered me, if you will, remaining vigilant, keeping watch over me while on journeys. Staying in the home of one of New Hope Haitian partners' homes there in a remote area, I had gone to bed one night in a small concrete room with one window opening, a door leading to the home's main room, and an exterior door closed off by wooden doors that are just bolted shut. Just before tucking in under my mosquito net and turning off my headlamp and praying to God that there were no tarantulas or scorpions in my presumed secure cocoon of sorts, I heard some ruckus on the other side of the wooden door. It took me a moment to figure out that it was the host, my friend Eliavin, was preparing a cot outside on the porch right in front of the door. This is where he would keep watch, how he would stay vigilant, prepared for the unknown. This was a kind of mothering I had never experienced before. Eliavin knew the necessity of watchfulness, and it was a tool that he lovingly and sacrificially employed. Today, we're going to jump to the end of Mark chapter 13, where Jesus describes the necessity of the tool of watchfulness. But before we jump into the text, I'd like us to find our footing this morning. Last week, Brittany walked us through the beginning of the chapter where the foretelling of the destruction of the temple hit a little close to home, during our heightened awareness of the reality that things will fall apart. From verse 9 through 31, Jesus continues to prepare the disciples for what is to come. They are going to face persecution, standing as Jesus' witnesses before those in positions of power. He offers a morsel of comfort, assuring that it is the Holy Spirit that speaks for them. He provides a warning that family members will turn on each other. And if all of that isn't bad enough, he then warns of desolation, triggering an immediate flee to the mountains with nothing in hand. Warning of false messiahs and prophets, he tells the disciples to be careful of deceivers, saying, "Be alert. I have already told you everything." It kind of reminds me of the deceitful temptations that lingered in this fool's spring this last week. I did mulch my yard. The Son of Man is coming and will gather up the people. All of these things will be signs. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but my words will never pass away. And then we arrive at our text for this morning. So verses 32 through 37 of Mark chapter 13. I'm going to be reading from the NRSV and making some comments along the way. This is a very short text. We're then going to unpack a few things, and I'm going to invite you not into conversation this morning as we have at the beginning of this year, but into moments of personal reflection along the way. So you've got some supplies around you. If you don't, feel free to get up and grab them if you want to doodle, make mental note, reflect, note things for yourself, or just take mental note. That's fine. So Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, so those who reside with God, nor the Son, but only the Father, or as the First Nation calls the Father God, Creator. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, agropneo, which means sleepless, attentive, watch, be ready. Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house, the one to whom all belongs, in which all lives, moves, and has its being as a part of the dwelling or family. You do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. The time is not fixed, in other words. Or else he may find you asleep, kathiodo, sleeping, not paying attention. We're going to come back to this word here in a minute. And what I say to you, I will say to all. Keep awake. This is a message for all. No one is exempt. Keep watch. Be ready. Attentive. This is the word of the Lord. In a very short text. Maybe thanks be to God. It's very simple. Keep watch. As I thought about Jesus' charge to his followers, I sensed how exhausting this can seem. And I was struck by a few things that surfaced from the meaning of this Greek word in our text for asleep. Kathiodo. First, this multifaceted word obviously refers to sleep. We all know that we cannot live without sleep, so clearly Jesus isn't endorsing neglect of our bodies or physical well-being. And so I wonder, what does it look like to keep awake to the Spirit of Christ returning to us again and again during these days when our world is falling apart? And we simultaneously journey through Lent. Honestly, it's just so easy to pay no attention, right? To be oblivious to what's going on around us. It is easy to take that route. I've been guilty of that and yet have come to learn that there are appropriate times or seasons or days to keep watch, if you will. I confess that I'm saying all of this on the heels of being deeply disheartened by a white-centric, blatantly non-communal, and narrowly defined motherhood posting on social media this week when I made the mistake of jumping on, about only carrying the burdens of one's own village. It speaks to the danger of mistaking complete disengagement in loving our neighbor as rest. While we know that rest is resistance, we find balance while remaining committed and consistent along the good road. Before I even saw this disheartening post, the health of establishing and maintaining boundaries was already on my mind as I read Jesus' charge to keep awake. Particularly evident with social media and the news, there is wisdom in regulating when and where and how much we take in. More deeply and most clearly in this text, though, I hear Jesus' invitation to be present in the moment. This is a tool that we need not only for the journey ahead, but it is the way to life itself. I'm also reminded of the balance that we find through rotating turns, sharing the burden of keeping watch, much like those at base camp. This is mutuality at work. When we entrust one another to collectively shoulder the work of keeping watch, we all remain ready and rested. When we entrust one another to collectively shoulder the work of keeping watch, we all remain ready and rested. I want to take a brief pause and have you note how you feel being reminded that keeping watch is not solely an individual call, but a collective burden to participate in so that we're all ready and rested. Take note of where and how that feeling sits in your body in this moment. Second, kathiodo, this word here for asleep, is used euphemistically to be dead, okay? So rather than being among those who are not awake or dead to the present moment, we remain among the living, those engaged in the generative work, the discipline as love. Mike preached a couple of weeks ago declaring this same thing, that to love our neighbors is to love God. This is the discipline of love. This is wholeness. In the words of poet Rose J. Percy, quoted in Reclaiming My Theology's Lenten devotional that I've been reading this last week or two, she says this: wholeness is a dream we weave, strong enough for those carrying the load of rest in their hopes. I think sometimes we don't realize, or maybe we're just not awake to the presence of God at work in and through us, particularly the richness of the work done by and to our beings during the descent. This is work that Prentice Hemphill reminds us of in What It Takes to Heal when they say, "Our lives get richer when we start to metabolize and heal the pain and the stories that live in us. We become more present. Our lives more felt. We have more access to the experience of relationship. Instead of existing in perpetual reactivity, we spend more of our time in the vast now, where connection and possibility reside, which is all worthwhile on its own. Life for life's sake." Yes, we keep alert when we live each day faithfully loving God and neighbor, connected in the vast now. I want to pause again and take a moment and have you reflect on how being in the present moment impacts our collective body in the midst of difficult days, and then imagine how it might grow our collective capacity to not miss Christ returning to us, among us, again and again. And finally, this word, katheudo, is used metaphorically to mean yielding to sloth or sin, to be indifferent to one's salvation or to miss the mark of what God intends and falling slothful. Jesus says, keep awake, not indifferent to the continual working out of faith or allegiance to God alone. Remain committed to this vision and faithfully consistent. To no surprise, I'm sure, I believe that without practice or the exercising of faith, we become spiritually atrophied. I know sometimes we just don't feel like it, or simply don't witness anything that seems fruitful in the day-to-day. Yet the regular working out of or practicing our faith eventually becomes habit, a rhythm in our lives. And over the course of time, we can experience change or new life, that next mountain, as the story of the four mountains would orient us. And over time, we experience becoming who God intends. I want to pause one final time and ask you to make note of what is helpful for you to stay awake rather than indifferent to the continual working out of faith in the present moment. I want to encourage you to commit to that or those things this week. These words of Jesus are what we might call an invitation to participation in a base camp experience. As we learn to grow in being in the present moment, attentive to God with us, may we be ready and rested, lovingly and sacrificially keeping watch, staying vigilant, even setting up our cots in front of the doors when and where our siblings, our neighbors, take their shift in resting. May we all experience the nurturing that happens through the collective shouldering of the work of keeping watch, being committed in our mission to embody the love of Jesus in this world as we journey toward the cross today. May it be so. Amen.